You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We always point out before we have one of these Yimei Iyun, the importance, the significance of beginning them with some Limud HaTorah before we get on with the rest of our day. The Ksav Sofer, I came across a fascinating Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says, we're learning Avos now, the Per Gimel of the Sefer's Avos. So the Tana tells us, we know, HaHoylech B'derech U'mafzik M'mishnasoi. The person is going on the road, U'mafzik M'mishnasoi, he interrupts his learning. V'oimer Manoi Ilan Zeh, how beautiful this tree is. Manoi Nir Zeh, how beautiful this plowed field is. HaReze Mishayiv B'nafsho, the Mishnah says, very, very severe punishment, Mishayiv B'nafsho. So the Ksav Sofer asks, very interesting, why do we dafka have Manoi Ilan Zeh? If he, as the Bartimura points out, if he interrupts his learning, the Mishnah should just say, Imafsik Mimishnasa, doesn't matter what he says. He say how nice this tree is, how nice the mountain is, I have to go shopping later, he can say anything. Imafsik Mimishnasa, Mishayib Minasha. I also always wonder, Mayafe Ilan Zeh, that we've said before. Sometimes you see a beautiful tree, Mayafe Ilan Zeh. How many people here have ever heard someone say, wow, look at that plowed field? Gorgeous, gorgeous plowed field. It's a strange thing. Mayafe Nir Zeh, says the Ksav Sofer, that's not the point of the Mishnah. It says, Ha'hoylech Baderech is referring to a specific Derech. We know we have a Machlekes Tanoim, Mesechis Brachos. Machlekes Tanoim, should people be engaged in Masa B'Matan, people be engaged in Parnasa, or should people engage in Limud HaTorah the entire day? Are we engaged in Vasachta D'Ganecha, or no, just Limud HaTorah, Torah Mata Heila? And the Mishnah tells us that we experimented, Klal Yisrael experimented, and it didn't work. Learning for everyone had a lifestyle where everyone was sitting in Koyel, didn't work. Harbi also, below also, the Yadam, it just didn't work, it simply didn't work. So we have to follow the Shitas of Rabbi Yishmael, and Vasafta D'Ganecha, every person has to be engaged in finding his Parnasa. It says the Ksav Sofer, HaHoylech B'Derech, you're walking on the way of Derech HaRabim, the way of Rabbi Yishmael, of being Oisek, of being engaged in Vasafta D'Ganecha, it still has to bother you a little bit that you're not going to Beis Medrash. That's to bother you a little bit that I understand I'm doing what I have to do. I'm an honest, I'm not supposed to be learning now. If I would be learning now, I would be irresponsible. I have to find my parnasa. But it has to bother me that I'm going to find my parnasa rather than going into the Beis Medrash. So it says that Ksav Sofer HaHoylech B'Derech, a person's going on his way. He's going on the path of Rabbi Yishmael, Vasafta D'Ganecha. And it doesn't bother him. U'mafzik B'Mishnasa, he stops and he says, oh, look at this beautiful tree that I planted. I'm so happy that I was able to plant this tree. My Yofen Nir Zeh, I'm so happy I was able to plow this field today. Look at the work that I did today. It doesn't bother him at all that instead of sitting in the Beis Medrash, he was out working. So then, Mishayiv B'Nafsho. Of course you're supposed to be working. Of course you're supposed to be engaged in Asafta D'Ganecha. But that's not where you're proud. That's not where your pride should be. If your pride in life comes from, my Yofen Ilan Zeh, look at this field that I planted. My Yofen Nir Zeh, look at this field that I plowed. So that's HaRezeh Mishayiv B'Nafsho. And of course we always point out from the Chafetz Chaim that what's the litmus test where a person's Tzipuk HaNefesh comes from? We are engaged every day of our lives. We're engaged in finding a parnasa. That's what overwhelms most of our time. But what happens when I have a day off? What happens when I have a few hours off? Where do I retreat to? That describes, that defines who a person is. So we have a day off, Baruch Hashem, we have a Monday off, an extra day off. So we start with Limud HaTorah. Not only is the Limud HaTorah of today important, but it reveals that that every other day when perhaps we're in honest, we're not able to spend time in Beis Medrash, this is really where our heart is. So Baruch Hashem, we're very thankful to the youth, we're very thankful to Rabbi Shwade for organizing a beautiful program, a very enlightening, what promises to be a very enlightening and educational program. When it comes to Kashrus, so of course, OU is always at the forefront, every shayla that comes in about kashrus, OU, we go to the OU. But the Rambam tells us something very interesting. The Rambam says, aside from an isser of eating things that aren't kosher, there's a special mitzvah, says the Rambam, leida, to understand, to know what's kosher and what's treif. Fascinating. The Rambam could, the Torah could have just said, eat kosher and don't eat treif. And then it would be incumbent upon us to figure out what's kosher and what's treif. You call it OU, what's kosher. The Rambam says, based on the psukim, at the end of parsha, kedoshim, no, there's a chiv on a person, even if you're sure you're only going to eat kosher. There's a chiv on a person to understand what's kosher and what's treif. So today's seminar will certainly help us be mekayim that mitzvah of leida, ma simonim kashrus yesh, what simonim of what's kosher, to understand what the Rebbeinu wants us to eat, what the Rebbeinu halachos that the Rebbeinu gave us, and aside from assisting his halacha l'mais and following these halachos, we'll be able to understand them further. We're appreciative to all the presenters for taking from your busy schedule to come and learn with us this morning. Thank you very much. We'll begin with Rabbi Elfit.
Thank you, Rabbi Niederberg. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had a very similar thought to the concept that Rabbi Neuberger spoke about. We're all just finishing Lag BaOmer. Everybody still has a Shimon ben Yochai in their minds. And this week's past Shabbos, the Pirkei Avos, this past Shabbos was Perek Dalet. And there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, which is a Mishnah said by Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon Omer, Shloish Sharim Hei. There are three crowns. Everybody knows that well-known Mishnah, Kesa Torah, Kesa Kahuna, the Kesa Malchus, the crown of Torah, the crown of Kahuna, the crown of Malchus. And then the Mishnah concludes, the Keser Shem Tov Al Gabeim, the crown of a good name supersedes all of them. There's an obvious question. The Mishnah says there are three crowns, Keser Kahuna, Keser Torah, Keser Malchus. But if you count the Mishnah mentions four crowns, Keser Torah, Keser Kahuna, Keser Malchus, the Keser Shem Tov. So there are three crowns or four crowns? Simple question. So the Mefarshim say a very simple pshat, and it's exactly what Rabbi Neuberger said. The Mefarshim say there are only three crowns. There's Keser Torah, there's Keser Kahuna, Keser Malchus. But what the Mishnah is teaching us is the Keser Kahuna doesn't just belong in the Beis HaMikdash. And Keser Torah doesn't just belong in the Beis HaMikdash. And Keser Malchus doesn't just belong in the palace. There's a Keser Shem Tov. A Keser Shem Tov is something that stays with you 24/7. Who is a Kohen? A Kohen is not somebody who's just a Kohen when he's in the Beis HaMikdash. And when he leaves the Beis HaMikdash, he's no longer a Kohen. A Talmid Chacham is not a Talmid Chacham only in the Beis HaMikdash. A Melech is not just a Melech in the palace. A person is in that category when it takes his whole life. A person whose entire life is devoted to what he's supposed to do, that is an individual of Keser Shem Tov. And I don't believe that there's anywhere that we experience Torah affecting everything we do more in eating. Because we all eat every day. We all eat in all types of situations. So the halachas that we experience with Hilchos Kashrus that we're going to discuss today are very much what I believe mean Keser Shem Tov. And actually, this is also an opportunity for us at the OU to announce a new program. We are now beginning, all of us who learned the Daf Yomi, I know some of you came over that we learned the Daf Yomi together. We're embarking as we begin the new cycle of Mitzvah Shem this coming January on a very exciting program called All Daf. All Daf means that everybody, that people that learned the Daf Yomi, that people that have learned the Daf Yomi for many cycles. I'm about to finish my fourth cycle of learning the Daf Yomi. But there are people that don't learn the Daf, or the people that do learn the Daf but want to show that the Daf is not just a Daf that we learn a lot of Gemara every day, but how it relates to our lives. And that's what the Daf Yomi project, the All Daf project that we're about to embark on is. To open up the Torah, to open up the Daf to everyone, in whatever interests them, history, Navi, Halacha, Lomdus, of course the actual Gemara, to show everything that affects our lives is in Torah. So the subject that I was asked to discuss today is a very, very important issue. I've had the opportunity to discuss this issue in different shuls, in different communities around the country, and every time I have this discussion, I get the exact same reaction. The reaction I get is that we never thought about this. We never realized that we're all so proud of the Jewish homes and the kosher homes that we try to have. You know, Rabbi Neuberger said, everybody knows that when you go to the supermarket, you look to buy only products that have a reliable hechsher. And sometimes you can have an individual who only buys products with the most reliable hechsher and is super careful in every way possible and thinks that they have a perfectly kosher kitchen. You know, they have a separate sinks. They have three sinks, milk, inflation, power oven, I don't know how many ovens and microwaves, and they can have a real non-kosher house, according to Shulchan Aruch. I'm not talking chumas. So the way I like to begin the shir is by actually reading the words of Shulchan Aruch. Nothing fancy. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei Simen Kuf Yud Ches teaches us, Hamniach Oyvet Kechavim Bebeisai. You leave a non-Jew in your home. Uboy Dvar, and you have in your home different items, Shem Yon Huchufu, Yesh Bem Isa Toyo. You can end up within your home having something Osir Midaraisa. Everybody says, well, that's not my home, because I only have kosher food in my home. Yeah, but you all have dairy food in your home, and you all have meat in your home. So that means if the meat and dairy get mixed up, we just finished learning those that learned the Daf Yomi. We just finished learning Sech Chulun. We learned all of the Sugis of Basa B'Cholot. So everybody in their house has the potential for something really non-kosher to happen. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Im hu yoytze v'nichnes, if you come in and out, oy fashil, oy afil shuz man goy, Rav, or you're going to be out for a while, but the non-Jew is not aware how long you're going to be out for, mutter. Then everything is fine. Even if the non-Jew has something to gain, since he doesn't know, she doesn't know you're going to be showing up any moment, everything is fine. However, only in a situation where the home is not closed, he's concerned that he may show up any moment. And this is what's relevant, especially to anybody who has live and help. Your non-Jewish help knows that you go to work every day, and you're out from 9 to 5. Also, then you're not allowed to leave your pots and pans, you're not allowed to leave your food there. If that person has nothing to gain, and we'll discuss this more later, if the person has nothing to gain by doing that, then it may be permissible. Then I'll read you another halacha. Everything is in the Shulchan Aruch. Yesh lahachmir, continues the Shulchan Aruch. The first halacha we spoke about food. Now we're not talking about foods anymore. Now we're talking about your pots and pans. Says the Shulchan Aruch, yesh lahachmir shlo laniach akadera eitzel shifachis. You shouldn't leave your pots and pans by your non-Jewish help. When you are not home. Then, unless you're constantly coming in and out, then ira, and says the Ramah, if it happened, kilkul shenasa dava b'kideira, en lachila oisa, shenacha shalai yugan b'kach. If you left your pots and pans, and somebody cooked something non-kosher in the pot and pan, you may not allow that pot and pan to be used. One more halacha. This is a Simen Kuf Chabeis. Yesh leizor, you have to be careful. Moneach v'bayis akum klisuda, you shouldn't leave alone in your home your pots and pans and dishes and silverware. You have to be concerned that they're going to use it when you're not home. So the Shulchan Aruch keeps on repeating over and over a very important halacha. Don't leave your food and don't leave your pots and pans in your house when you're not there. Before I go into speaking about some of the practical applications of the halacha that I just met, the halachas I just read from the Shulchan Aruch, I want to do something a rabbi is not supposed to do. What's a rabbi not supposed to do? The Shulchan Aruch is black and white. The Shulchan Aruch tells us what we're allowed to do. The Shulchan Aruch tells us what we're not allowed to do. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't need us to give it any backup, any stories to show that the Shulchan Aruch is correct. But I'm going to tell you a story. Maybe because it's close to home, it's a story that happened that my father, Oliver Shalom, told me. My father, Oliver Shalom, was from Czechoslovakia. And he told me that he was once standing in the bakery, this obviously quite a few years ago, in Bar Park, waiting online on a Friday morning. And he heard two non-Jewish women, who were Polish, who obviously didn't expect that anybody there should understand what they're speaking to each other. And my father, although he was Czechoslovakian, my mother is Polish, they used to understand each other even though they didn't speak the exact same language, Slavic languages. So my father understood Polish. And he heard how these two women were speaking to each other, and they were saying, it was December time, we work in homes, and when the people who we work for will leave to go to work, or to go shopping, to go wherever they're going, we're going to cook our entire holiday meal for their holiday in the pots and pans of this Jewish home. My father had no way of knowing who these people worked for. They could warn them, this is what's happening. But this is what happens. So again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't need my story to make the Shulchan Aruch right. But this is a story that we witnessed. And there are many stories that happen like this. So I want to discuss some of the halachas. If you leave non-Jewish help at home with food, so the halacha is, food is easier than pots and pans. Why is food easier than pots and pans? Because the halacha requires that the non-Jewish individual should have something to gain by using non-kosher food. So if you have in your refrigerator, in your freezer, kosher meat, so that person is going to go take that kosher meat. What will they really gain by substituting the kosher meat with non-kosher meat? They know that if you have 5 steaks in your freezer and you're going to come home and you don't see only 3 steaks, you're going to know that something's wrong. So what do you have to worry about? They're going to take the 2 kosher steaks and replace them with 2 non-kosher steaks? What do they really gain from that? So then the halacha is more lenient. Even in a place where the guy, where he does have what, he or she has what to gain from switching. So there, first of all, we have to stop for a moment. What does it mean they have something to gain by switching? So the Paiskim are there's not a clear stop in the Paiskim. Most Paiskim say they have something to gain, that they prefer the kosher meat over the non-kosher meat. That's not usually the case, because they don't really, it tastes the same. Maybe, who knows, maybe it tastes better. But let's say, the non-kosher, they're hired by you to cook. And this is stories that have come to us. You have live-in help, non-Jewish help, who part of their job is they're supposed to cook in your home. And they want you to be satisfied with them. What would happen, you leave, and you tell them, I want you to cook for dinner, whatever. And it happens. The food that they cook gets ruined, gets burnt. So now, let's think about this individual. You're going to come home from work, and supper is burnt. The reaction is not going to be great. And this person is anxious to hold on to their job. So what is that person possibly going to do? She's going to go out to the store, quickly buy a different roast to replace the roast that she burnt in order to save her job. So now we have a situation of nena b'chalipin. That individual has something to gain by making a switch. Or the person can discuss another situation. That individual eats in your home. So if supper is burnt, not only are you not getting supper, but she's not getting supper either. That's nena b'chalipin. So there, it's not so simple that you could say, well, I don't have to worry about the food because what did they gain by making the switch? So what did the heter? One heter is Yotz v'nichnas. That's, we read it twice in the Shulchan Aruch. What does Yotz v'nichnas mean? That you come in and out. And when we speak about the heter of Yotz v'nichnas, we need to understand that heter. Telling your help that I'm leaving and I'm going to come back, but she knows you're going to work, and every day you go to work, you don't come back. Or even if you don't go to work, you're going shopping in Manhattan, and she knows you're going shopping in Manhattan, and it takes you an hour to get there, an hour to be there, an hour to get back. So they know they have 3 hours. That's not called Yotz v'nichnas. Yotz v'nichnas means that you're going to be, you come back on a regular basis, on an unannounced basis. And telling them that you're going to come back is not good enough. Could you leave a child for Yotz v'nichnas? So the place can say that the child should be at least 9 years old, that should understand if something wrong is happening. If there's a situation where you don't have a key to the house, so to get into the house, you don't have to ring the bell or whatever. That's not called Yotz v'nichnas, because you're giving that individual warning that you could show up any minute. Another important halacha is if this is just because the Shulchan Aruch mentions it, I want to speak about this for a moment. Let's say you have non-Jewish help in your house, and you allow them to cook non-kosher food in your house. The halacha is that you're not allowed to let, you're not allowed to have two pots, one pot of kosher food and another pot of non-kosher food, one next to each other. Because there's always a concern, even if you're not concerned for mix-up, there's always a concern for splattering from the kosher, from the non-kosher into the kosher. If you have meat in the house, you should leave the meat always properly sealed. That means all the meat that we buy in the stores nowadays are properly sealed with two seals. And that's the way you should leave the meat that you're going to leave in your home when you're not home. When it comes to meat, as we unfortunately know, there's a lot of incentive to cheat in the area of meat. So the proper thing to do is always leave the meat in the home sealed. I'm going to go off not speaking about homes for a moment. Because this is a... Yes?
You are listening to BenStorer.com.
We'll talk about that.
What about you buy a large amount of meat, so you cook half of it, you want to refreeze the rest?
So what you're supposed to do is you can refreeze the rest, you put it into your freezer, but don't just put it into your freezer in a bag, seal it. Make it, put a piece of tape on it and put your name on it. You don't have to, it's not only stores and factories that know how to seal things. You can just put it in with a piece of tape and seal it. But I want to speak about an issue that people don't think about, and it's a very important shaila. It's along the same issue that we're speaking about. Many of us work in offices, and in the offices, there's a refrigerator. Many, I know at our office, there's a common refrigerator for all the employees. So I'm lucky enough to work in the OU. So all the people that I work with are religious Jews. But let's say you're working in an office where it's not just Jews, and you put food into the refrigerator. There's kosher food, you're bringing your lunch, and somebody else is bringing their food. Now, apidin, it's not, there's reason to be makel. Why is there reason to be makel? Because if they're going to take, usually the person will say, they may take your lunch. It happens. It's unlikely they're going to take your lunch and replace it with something non-kosher. But sometimes that may happen. They want to taste what you brought. You have to be very careful if you're leaving food in a common area to make sure that it has proper signage that you should know what's yours. So now, the question that we need to talk about is a video camera. So Rabbi Neuberger asked the question, can you rely on a video camera? So the halacha is you can rely on a video camera, but there are a number of conditions that have to be followed in order to be able to rely on a video. Number one, it has to be a video that covers the entire area of the kitchen. So if you're, you need to have probably more than one camera. If the camera doesn't cover, you have a big kitchen and doesn't cover every corner of the kitchen, then you can't rely on it. The other requirement is that the camera is something that you review. So if it does, let's say there are cameras, there are two types of video cameras. There are video cameras that save the film, and there are video cameras that only as what's happening you can see, but it doesn't save. You can't rely on that type of video camera. Thirdly, it has to be that the person who's working in your kitchen knows that there's a video camera. No, just by saying, well, I'm going to watch the video camera and I'll see what's going on, that isn't a heter, because you have created a kitchen that is not the way a kitchen's supposed to look. What you're supposed to do is put up a video camera, A, that covers every angle of the kitchen, B, you review the videos on a regular basis, and C, you make the person who's working in your kitchen aware of that video camera. Another very important halakha is we order food from stores. When you order food from a store, you have to be careful that the food comes properly sealed. Again, why? Because you have to be concerned that maybe something happened to the food while this delivery person was bringing it from the store. And when the person was bringing it from the store, something might have happened to the food. It might have dropped. They're concerned if they don't make the delivery, who knows what their boss is going to do. So they're bringing a pizza from a kosher pizza store, and the pizza dropped. And you're waiting for pizza. So what he may do is go to a non-kosher pizza shop on the way and replace the kosher pizza with a non-kosher pizza, and you'll never know the difference. People don't know this halakha. I have to tell you, even Hechsherim don't know this halakha. And it's our job to educate and make sure that we won't accept into our homes food that is not properly sealed. I want to tell you a story that just happened in our family 2 weeks ago. My daughter was in Atlanta for a conference. She's a speech therapist. She was in Atlanta for a conference. And, she's a different generation than I am. I would never know how to do this. But she ordered food through Uber from a kosher restaurant. So she ordered food from a kosher restaurant and came to her hotel, and it wasn't sealed. So she grew up in our house. So she called the restaurant and told the restaurant, you sent me food, but it wasn't sealed. I can't eat it. The restaurant said, you're right. You're right. Call them up and ask for a credit. We messed up. But she still was hungry. So she ordered food from a different restaurant. You know what? The second, from a different restaurant, and the second delivery came also not sealed. So she calls me. She says, now it's getting late, and I'm hungry. And I don't have a car, and I'm in Atlanta. What should I do? So I said, call the restaurant and ask to speak to the mashgiach and maybe the Mashgiach, even if the food did not come sealed, to give you a simon, to tell you something unique about the packaging, that, and he's a religious Jew, you can rely on that. So she calls the restaurant, she asks to speak to the Mashgiach, and she tells the Mashgiach, you know, the food came unsealed. He didn't know what she was talking about. Then he asks, she still asks her, maybe you could tell me how I can know that this food is from your restaurant. So he slammed the phone down on her. And she didn't eat supper that night. And my wife told her, I always tell my husband and children, whenever you travel, bring along some food. This is the halacha. The halacha is that if a delivery comes to your home not properly sealed, you shouldn't accept the delivery. Unless you have ways of knowing that food came from the kosher restaurant. If you ask non-Jewish help to go shop for you, you tell them go down the block and shop for you, you have to be sure that the food that they pick up for you, it's your worker, is picked up and brought to you properly sealed, even though it's your full-time help. I don't want to take time from my other colleagues, so I want to mention some very important quick halachas. Yes?
I have a very interesting question. Without stepping on people's clothes, how would one check the Mashgiach's certification capability without himself?
It's a great question. It's a very good question, but that's really the job of the Hechsher. Whoever's giving the certification, their job is to make sure that the people who are working for them are qualified to do the job that they're hired for.
They don't need special training.
They need training. They absolutely need training.
Some of the times I've seen this happen in some of the supermarkets in this community, on Pesach, like, or wherever you are, let's say you have Goyisha help that work in the kitchen. They will take, let's say, something that's not kosher and put it on their hands, put it on their lips. So in the meantime, the food becomes trained.
Why is that what they put on their hand not kosher?
If they're using chapstick, let's say
that wouldn't make the food not kosher. If you're using some sort of soap on your hand, that wouldn't make the food not kosher. The answer to your question is, you should never buy from a store that's called kosher, that has anything non-kosher in it.
Not talking about even kosher. But
it should be only kosher, so because everything in the kitchen is kosher, they can't be applying non-kosher to anything.
Not to their lips. And
yeah, that wouldn't make it non-kosher. Chapsticks would not make it non-kosher. So I want to talk about another very common question. Two important issues. One, there are many people who aren't well, who have full-time help at home. And usually that full-time help is not Jewish. And the question is, what should you do? There is no heter because the person is not well and therefore they have help that you're allowed to leave the food and you have many shilas. The first shilas is, there it's worse because these people don't feel like they're running the entire household because nobody else is there. And there's milchigs in the house, there's fleishigs in the house, there's pots and pans in the house. The halacha is that if you should not ever allow that to be. Either you should follow Rabbi Neuberger's advice and have a video system set up in the house. Either you should have a yotz of a nichnas, somebody coming into the house on a regular basis, unexpected, unannounced. That means you have to have, and as I said a moment ago, if you have to ring the bell, that's not called yotz of a nichnas. So you're going to have a key to be able to get into the house. Alone, yes? They're much worse. I'm going to get to it. So now, thank you for reminding me that we have to talk about pots and pans. So pots and pans, as I said the story earlier, are much more of a shiloh than food. Why pots and pans much more of a shiloh than food? Because, as I said, the likelihood of your non-Jewish help bringing non-kosher food to the house is quite minimal. Because what are they going to get? The pots and pans, you're out, they need to eat, they need to entertain in their homes, you have a great set of pots and pans, they're going to use your pots and pans. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this issue. And Rav Moshe in his tshuva is very clear in saying, you're not allowed to do it. There is no heter. There is no heter to leave non-Jewish help in your house with your pots and pans that are open. Rav Moshe said that somebody didn't notice halacha. They didn't come to Al-Shir. And they didn't know the halacha, they left their pots and pans with non-Jewish help. So Rav Moshe said, if you have reason to believe that they actually used your pots and pans, you got to kasher your kitchen. If you have no reason to believe that they used your pots and pans, says Rav Moshe, if you wait 24 hours from when those pots and pans were used last, then the Eved will be lenient. Why? Because again, we're speaking about the Daf Yomi, so those of us who learned Masechta Chulin know that in Masechta Chulin, the Gemara speaks many times about the concept of noisim tam of gam. If something wasn't used for 24 hours, any blia, any taste in the pots and pans and dishes is really pogum, doesn't taste good, and therefore halachically it's much less of a question. So says Rav Moshe, you don't know for sure that these pots and pans were used in a non-kosher basis. Number two, you didn't use them for 24 hours. So when you combine those two hatarim, I'll let you use the pots and pans, but never do it again. The Pais can add one more cooler.
Must not be non-religious Jews or only non-Jews?
Very good question. Anybody who's choshev, anybody who you're concerned, doesn't care about kashrus. And again, it doesn't even mean kashrus. Let's say it's bas v'cholof. You leave people who don't care about kashrus in your home, and you let them make a coffee when you're out. So all of us, of course, are careful that we're going to drink a coffee, we're only going to drink it in a milk cup. But they don't care milk and slice it. They take whatever comes to their hand. So they use your meat, they use your coffee, they use your pap, they use your milk, but they put it into a flesh of the cup. You know, I'll leave it in such circumstances. Even if you hire help, that their job is only to clean. You tell them, I don't have anything for you to do in the kitchen. That doesn't necessarily give you a heifer, because they still may cook for themselves and eat for themselves, and you will come and go and never know the difference. So unless there's a way of knowing the difference, you can't allow that to be in your house. Yotzei nefesh is a heifer. The pots and pans as well. The Shulchan Aruch is very clear. The yotzei nefesh is a heifer. But it has to be yotzei nefesh. If you go and work, and they know you go to work every day, or your wife is going shopping, and they know that when she goes shopping, she doesn't come back for a while, that's not called yotzei nefesh. Yotzei nefesh, which all of kashrus is built on yotzei nefesh, is because of the mirsis. You create a fear. There's another one important, I know you want to ask a question, that people, I just don't want to forget, and that is, even if you have a kosher kitchen, and even you're there, when you're yotzei nefesh, if you have wine in your refrigerator that is not mevushel, and it's open, and when you're not there, they're doing their job, they want to get something out of the refrigerator, they want to clean the refrigerator, you have a very serious question. I recommend strongly to anyone who has non-Jewish help at home, or people who aren't Shomer Shabbos working in their home, they should only have mevushel wine in their home. You want to add something?
So for the common workplace fridge, is that for dairy also or just for fish?
Dairy is the same.
So everything should be sealed as well for dairy.
Right.
And in a Bikur Cholim room, where if you leave your food, does that have to be sealed too?
Absolutely. In a Bikur Cholim room, food has to be sealed. Along the same issue, you know, we're coming towards the summer season. I get this question very often. So there are many rest stops along the way, gas stations along the way to the mountains that serve coffee, and they know they're going to have a very religious clientele traveling up the mountains who are careful about Chol Yisrael. So they have a bottle of Chol Yisrael, and they have a bottle of regular milk. Can you use that Chol Yisrael milk? The answer is you can't use that Chol Yisrael milk. Because since once that milk is open, you need to be concerned that they might have poured into an open bottle of Chol Yisrael milk, some of the non-Chol Yisrael milk, and now that bottle that says Chol Yisrael is really not Chol Yisrael. That's why sometimes you go on these rest stops, you'll see a lot of open bottles of Chol Yisrael, because everybody who comes wants to open up a new bottle, because they heard I was here.
So yes. Sometimes someone's leaving the house and there's a painter or a plumber. One time, not even a full time.
Makes no difference.
They should tell them the cameras.
Tell them
I have a camera system?
Yes, you have to tell them I have a camera system. If you don't tell them, it doesn't work. Yes?
Why do you have to watch the footage and know that you're
Because if you don't watch the footage, then they will, you need to create a mirror system. The only way a mirror system is created, you don't have to watch all of the footage. I maybe wasn't clear. But you have to watch the footage sometimes.
They have to know that you
can watch it. Again, the reason is because we're trying to create a mirror system. We're trying to create a situation where they're not going to want to do something wrong because they're going to get caught. So we have to, so we have to do as many layers as possible.
Did yes. You want to address
Bishlakim? I didn't get to Bishlakim, but you'll have to invite me again to Bishlakim.
Sorry.
Alat, yes.
I'm just thinking of the world of Allah. Today's world is very different than the world that I grew up in, where you had help once a week, and you stayed home to be with your help. Today, it's a different world. The women are not home. They're either working, or they're shopping, or they're eating in the local restaurants. They walk into the house, and the average woman turns on her fire, and that's the girl, my girl knows better than me, that he goes. You hear this all the time. You're talking now about something that is not happening. It's not our world. So while all of these halachas are so important, I think there has to be some sort of class, and the men in it, but they're not running home. So you have to have people teach the women the severity of these
halachas
and how to redo their whole almost lifestyle.
Correct, correct. I cannot agree with you more. I have to tell you, I gave this year.
The men are listening. They're going to tell the wives, you get, why don't you look them under breath? They're not of no interest. Don't tell them. Who on earth today, you do your cooking, you do your baking, you leave the pots for the lady to clean and you go out. This is a normal way of things happening today.
You're 100% right.
What you're saying is almost not going to help the situation unless there's
You're 100% right. So I want to tell you, I gave this year.
You have class of redoing your home.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
How can I,
So you have to think together to do it in the right way. I gave the shir in Bar Park. I gave the shir in Bar Park one of the biggest shuls. And there were no women at that shir. There were only men at that shir. And the Rav was sitting there when I gave the shir. And you know what he did? He said to me, I want you to give the exact same shir for the women.
Yeah, but it's more than a shir. It's a way of how do I
have to,
how
You have to make it work. You have to make it work. You have to make it work.
How can I revive my
habits,
my daily
habits? 100% right. I couldn't agree with you more.
So
this is why we came. So I tried to give you some advice. The video cameras is the best advice I could give. Otherwise, it's not what people want to do nowadays. But you have to figure out a way of sealing your pots and pans and your food. It's not so practical.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.